Good evening, everyone. We're going to make a start just to our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 211. 211 in your hymn book. You'll find it in the page 261. It's a great old gospel hymn. 211 is the hymn number. There is a story sweet to hear. I love to tell it too. It fills my heart with hope and cheer. 'Tis old yet ever new. 'Tis old yet ever new. I know, I'm sure 'tis true. 'Tis old, yet ever new. 211 is the hymn number, and the page 261 standing as we sing, and singing it out with all of our heart. Stand as we sing. Just look to the Lord in a word of prayer, praying for His help and blessing tonight and in the nights to follow. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal Father in heaven, we gather, Lord, before Thee tonight, and we come in the Savior's worthy and precious and all-powerful and all-prevailing name. Father, we thank Thee afresh tonight for the man Christ Jesus, He who was God manifest in the flesh. And Father, we thank that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Father, we thank Thee tonight for the perfect life of Christ. We thank that He was without spot, without fault, without blemish. We thank Thee, O God, that He was separate from sinners. Yet, O God, we thank Thee that He went to the cross of Calvary. And there He bare our sin in His own body to the tree. And there He became our substitute. And He died the just for us, the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And Father, we thank Thee that the message of the gospel, though it is old, it is ever new. Father, we thank Thee that in love and in mercy Christ came. We thank Thee that He shed His blood. He gave His life a ransom for many. And that He rose again victorious the third day, alive forevermore. And, O God, we give Thee thanks and praise for all Thy mercies and blessings to us today. We thank Thee for Thy goodness and mercy to us yesterday in Thy house. But, Lord, we need Thee afresh tonight, and we just bring this gospel meeting to Thee tonight. Remember the meetings also in Thy will this week. And, Lord, we pray tonight that we might know a very gracious sense of the presence of God. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt draw near, that Thou wilt grant us a gracious sense of Thy presence, of Thy nearness, that this very night, O God, that Thou would fill this house with the presence and the power and the glory of the Lord. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt close out every thought and care and distraction that is not of Thee. And Father, we pray that Thou would bless every heart and every soul, from the very youngest to the oldest, as Thou would see our particular need. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou dost know our need better than we know it ourselves. And, O God, we pray this night that Thou would bless every child of God in this meeting. Encourage Thy people, build Thy people up in their most holy faith, and encourage the saints of God, even through the gospel preaching at this time, we pray. Remember any tonight going through times of trial or testing, strengthen them. And Lord, maybe, Lord, there's some walking afar off from Thee tonight. May they know that restoring touch of Thy grace in their lives. We thank Thee that Thou hast promised to never leave nor forsake Thy people. And Lord, for any in their gathering tonight unsaved, Lord, speak to them especially, we pray. And Father, we pray that even as this meeting would draw to a close tonight, that they would close in with Christ and trust Him as their own and personal Savior. Do bless this community, bless this area, we pray. Remember the homes around about. Thou dost know the need of every home and of every family. We pray that Thou would bless and meet those needs and draw many in this week under the sound of Your word. Remember the outreach that has taken place and the tracts, the invites that have been given out. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt own and bless these things to the furtherance of Thy kingdom. We thank Thee for Thy servant with us here tonight. Bless our brother, we pray, as he would sing Thy praises. And Lord, as he would preach that message that Thou hast laid upon his heart, we pray that he'll know that fresh infilling of the Spirit of God with power, and that Thou would be mouth, matter, and wisdom unto Thy servant. Not only bless him tonight, we pray, but Lord, in the nights that are to follow, we pray that he will know great help and power and grace that comes alone from Thyself. Bless us, we pray of Thee. Remember other gospel missions on at this time and gospel meetings, Lord, wherever men are faithful to the blood of Christ and to the Word of God. We pray that Thou wilt bless Thy truth in these days and remember our land in mercy and in grace, and grant a time of reviving from the presence of the Lord. Do us good now, we pray. Close us in, Lord, with Yourself. Cleanse our hearts afresh in the precious blood of the Savior. Prepare our hearts this night to meet with Thee and to receive Thy word. For we pray and we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and for Thine eternal glory and praise. Amen and amen. Well, we give a very special welcome tonight to a good brother in Christ, our guest evangelist this week, our brother, Reverend Fred Greenfield. We do welcome our brother in the Lord's great name. Welcome his wife, Jean, also as well with us tonight. Nice to have them here in fellowship with us this week. And we're glad our brother not only is coming to preach, but he's able to sing as well. And we always have enjoyed his singing in the past. And we're going to ask him now to come and sing his first messages and song this evening. Lord bless you.
Thank you, my brother, very much for those words of welcome. Great joy and a privilege to be with you for these meetings, and we trust the Lord will indeed bless our fellowship together around His word, and as we seek to sing and to preach the gospel. I was preaching one night there in one of our churches, and a man says to me, he says, "Fred, I remember you coming here," he says, "when you were a student," and he says, "you haven't changed a bit." And my wife says, "What did you say?" I said, "Well, I patted his guide dog and thanked him very much." And so the years go on, but it's good. It's the same message, the message of the gospel. Here's lovely old gospel hymn. I want you to join in and sing the chorus. For the people are getting discouraged and downhearted and depressed, but God is still on the throne.
have you started for glory and heaven? And have you left this old world far behind? In your heart is the Comforter dwelling, and can you say, praise the Lord, He is mine? Have the ones that once walked on the highway, they've gone back and you seem all alone. Keep your eyes on the prize for that home.
My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress. Then I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I entered. Hey.
the song of my soul, since the Lord made me whole, has been the old story.
Thank our brother for coming and ministering in song. Our prayer is the Lord will bless those messages to every heart. Praise God, the Lord is still on the throne, remembers his people, remembers his own. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, our prayer is that you would anchor your soul in Jesus Christ, the eternal haven of rest. Our brother will be singing for us a little later on again before he comes to preach. He was talking about getting older. I was speaking to a man the other day, and he says, we're all getting older. And I says, well, I haven't met anyone yet that isn't. I think if a man could sort that problem out, he'd probably be a wealthy man. But that's how it is. We're all going, as the man says, one direction. But I want to welcome you all tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see so many gathered with us here this Monday evening. And we bid you a very special and warm word of welcome in the Savior's precious and worthy name. We pray if you're a believer tonight that the Lord will bless you and encourage you and strengthen you afresh in your walk with God and draw you closer to the Savior. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, our prayer, our burden is that at this time you'll seek the Lord, you'll trust the Lord and call upon the Lord for salvation. We do welcome those also who may be viewing online. We thank you for joining with us tonight as well, and we pray the Lord will draw near to you and meet you at the point of your need through his word and through his truth. Do remember, please, the meetings as they continue in the will of the Lord this evening right through to Friday night, every night at 8 p.m., and then the time of prayer beforehand in the prayer room at 7:30, and we encourage as many as possible of the Lord's people to gather for prayer, to seek the Lord, and to call upon the Lord's name. And our brother, the Reverend Greenfield, will be with us night by night, God willing, to preach and to sing. And we pray the Lord will richly bless him and use him for his honour and for his glory. And then the final meeting of the mission will be on Sunday evening, the Lord's Day evening at 7 p.m. And the guest preacher on that occasion will be our brother, the Reverend Gordon Dean from Crossgar, former member of the congregation here. And then the Rainey family from Tullyvallen will be along to sing. So do pray for the meetings. We encourage you to remember them day by day in prayer. Take a little time every day to pray for the preacher, pray for the mission, pray for the area, and bring the people before the Lord in prayer, and encourage you to do all you can also to invite. There's still invitations there. Take them and give them out and encourage folk along. And if they need a lift, you bring them along to the gospel meeting and sit beside them and make them feel at home at the meeting. So do remember them as they continue throughout the week in the will of the Lord. We don't take up any offerings during the mission, but there are offering plates at the rear there if you'd like to help with expenses as you leave. But that's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're going to turn again in our hymn book to another hymn. 248 in the page 276. Great old gospel hymn, under the burdens of guilt and care, many a spirit is grieving, who in the joy of the Lord might share life everlasting receiving. Praise God, the Lord is one who gives life eternal and gives life more abundant. We'll stand as we sing, and singing it out with all of our hearts. Welcome our brother again. We pray the Lord to bless him. He's come to bring now his final message and song, and then minister God's word. The Lord bless you.
The old gospel hymn says, it's the way of the cross that leads home. There's only one way of salvation. one name, and it's found in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is a hymn of testimony of a soul who found that to be true and came to know the Savior.
With tears of sorrow and tears of regret, I gazed at the road I had trod, but the tears could not hide what I could not forget, how it led me away.
One way, the way of the cross. If you have a Bible with you tonight, I invite you to turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to John, John's Gospel, and to chapter 8. And we're going to commence our reading from verse 30. The Gospel of John and chapter 8, commencing to read at verse 30. And again, can I say it is a joy and a pleasure. It's always a privilege to be invited to come and to sing or to preach the unsearchable riches of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John chapter 8 and verse 30, the Bible says, speaking about the Lord Jesus, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Amen. May God bless to us the public reading of his own inspired and infallible word. Let's just bow, word of prayer, and ask God's help on the ministry of his word. Father in heaven, we thank thee again tonight for thy presence already with us. We thank thee, Lord, that we are gathered together in thy name. And when we gather in thy name, and we're found in thy house with thy people, gathering around thine own inspired, infallible, inerrant word, we thank thee, Lord, that there art thou in the midst. And we ask thee, Lord, to bless our meeting now, bless the ministry of thy word. We realize, O God, that we need the endowment of power of God the Holy Spirit. Without thee, we can do nothing. Except the Lord build a house, we labor in vain that build it. And so we would cry like one of old, I take the promised Holy Ghost and the blessed power of Pentecost. O God, fill me, touch my lips with a life cold from off the altar, and help us to present the Lord Jesus Christ in all his fullness and in all his glory, that men and women tonight may flee from the wrath which is surely to come, that they might seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. We realize, O God, as the old gospel hymn says, Jesus is passing this way. He's passing this way today. Lord, we would cry, let the angels bear the tidings upward to the courts of heaven. Let them sing in holy rapture o'er another soul forgiven. For we ask all these things in the Savior's name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. You remember when our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was before Pontius Pilate, that as Pilate questioned him, he asked the question, what is truth? And we live in a world where many people think that they can decide their own truth, their own life view, their own philosophy, their own ideas of life and death and eternity. And there is a way, the Bible says, that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And in this passage of Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 32, he said, Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in verse 36, he says, If the Son, therefore, hath made you free, ye shall be free indeed. And thank God for the Free Presbyterian Church, or denomination to which we belong. Thank God that down through the years, the ministers and elders, the people of God, have sought to maintain the testimony and to preach the truth of the gospel of Christ as it is found in the Holy Scriptures. The Bible says there in John's Gospel in chapter 20 and verse 31, John gives us the reason why he has penned this wonderful gospel. He says, These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. The words of the Gospels, the words of this book have been written that men and women and young people and boys and girls might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, that he is the Son of God, and that believing in him, they might have life through his name. So therefore, it's very important that men and women come to know the one who says in chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, and the truth and the life. For Jesus said, no man can come unto the Father but by me. As we have been reading tonight from the Word of God, isn't it good that we know the truth about the Scriptures? The truth about the Scriptures. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that it is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. It's good that when you and I take a copy of the Holy Scriptures in our hand and we begin to read the Word of God, we realize that the Holy Spirit of God, that God moved, holy men of God, were moved upon by the Holy Spirit, and they penned the words that God gave them to write. This book is God-breathed. Now, there are many, many holy books, so-called, in the world. There are many, many books from the major religions in this world, whether it's the Vedas of the Hindus or the Quran of Islam, or when you think of the different cults that there has been down through the years and the writings of their leaders and teachers. It's good to know that this book, the Word of God, is God-breathed. That it's really 66 books in one book, and it was written over so many centuries by 40 different writers. And yet it has the same message from Genesis to Revelation, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and there's no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. This book, it's God's book. Some have said, even as in recent times when Her late Majesty the Queen celebrated so many years upon the throne, and they looked back to the coronation, and much was made of the fact that the Queen was given a copy of the Holy Scriptures, and she was told, this is the royal law. So it is. This is God's law. This is a reliable book. This is reliable. I often think of those words, you know, when people look back in history and the philosophers and the educationalists of their day and the top philosophers, they said that this old world in which we live, it was flat. And you could actually go and sail off the end of the world. And not only that, but that world was sitting on the back of four mammoths. And those four mammoths in turn were sitting on the back of a turtle, a giant turtle. Whereas the Bible says, he hangeth the earth upon nothing. The prophet says, he sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And so in a day and an age when there's modernism and liberalism and atheism and agnosticism and evolution and what I call evolution, fairy tales for adults, it's good that we have the truth of the Holy Scriptures to depend upon and to rely on. But men and women tonight, let me say, you need not only to realize the truth about the Scriptures, but you need to realize the truth that men and women have an immortal soul, the truth about the soul. Jesus said in Mark 8 and 36, for what would it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and then lose his own soul? The Bible makes it clear that we did not evolve, that we did not come from some mucky puddle somewhere. We were created in the image of God. And the Bible says in Genesis 2 and 7 that God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And later on in the book of Genesis, when the Bible talks about a dear woman of God in chapter 35, and it says that she died. It says, as her soul was in departing, and she died. So the Bible says, you and I possess something which is immortal. We have a soul that will live on as long as God lives, either in heaven with Christ or in hell without him.
But we are told that physical death is that time when the soul is separated from this physical body. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. He became a living soul. And Jesus said, what would it happen if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? We have something immortal, but there's something personal. It's our own soul. When I began to work, after leaving school in Belfast, I worked in a factory. And there were many, many people worked in that factory. And there's all sorts of people who worked in that factory. And I thank God there was a number of Christians who were in that factory who prayed for me, who witnessed to me. But, you know, day by day, you're talking to communists and socialists and atheists and all these people. There's always arguments and always debates. And there was one man, and he was a real professed atheist. He was always going on about it. You know, we're only here, we evolved, and we're here, and we'll live our life, and then we die, and that's the end. That's it. You die like a beast, and that's the end. One day, his mother died. And when he came back into work, some of the friends spoke to him and tried to witness to him. But they noticed there was a change. And when they said, you know, you were preaching to us that when you die, that's the end. But now, because it was personal and it was his mother, he began to think maybe there is something. And he began to talk about her looking down on us and all these things. See, men and women, we have a soul. And it's possible to lose your soul. But thank God there's something wonderful in this book, and the Bible talks about it away in the book of Exodus, about redemption, paying the redemption price for the soul. Every soul was counted. The rich were not to give more, the poor were not to give less, because your soul and my soul is every bit as valuable as the richest man walking this planet tonight. And God loves us. He loved the world of sinners lost. So it's good to remember that you have a soul and that you will live on in eternity when this fleeting life is over. And it's good, you know, friend, to realize the truth about sin. In this passage of Scripture that we read, and these men were arguing, as it were, with the Lord Jesus, and Jesus said to them in verse 34, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. That literally is the bond slave of sin. Now, the Bible tells us that we were born in sin and we were shapen in iniquity. The Word of God says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Word of God further says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the wages of sin is death. And the Bible teaches us about sin, and how by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death is passed upon all men, in that all have sinned. But so many live a life, and have the philosophy, and have the idea, and have the notion that the murderer's a sinner, the drunkard's a sinner, the rapist's a sinner, the immoral man or woman's a sinner, but they're not a sinner. These people said to Jesus, why do you speak about being made free? They said in verse 33, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? You know, when I read those words, I said, you could apply those words to men and women in Northern Ireland. These people were saying, you know, we trace our lineage, we trace our history, we go back to Abraham, the father of the faithful. So we're Abraham's seed. We're different. We don't need to be made free. And there's men and women in this little province of ours, and they look to the church in which they were baptized, the church in which they were catechized. They look to the church, they say, you know, I'm a good Presbyterian. I'm a good Church of Ireland person. I'm a good Roman Catholic. Or somebody says, I'm a good Protestant. I have been this, I have been that. I'm a Free Presbyterian. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Pentecostal. Whatever. And there are people, and they're not saved. But, you know, they think to themselves, I don't need to be saved. I was telling folks the other night about a woman, an elderly lady. She was in a nursing home. And she was spoken to about the things of God. And she said, you know, when I was a wee girl, the Faith Mission came preaching round about our home place. But she says, my mother told me, you don't need that. You're all right. There's people out there and they're sinners and they need to be saved, but you're a good girl. And here, years and years and years later, someone trying to speak to her about her soul before she would go out into God's eternity. And she's holding on to something that was told her she did not need to be saved. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ could have very, very easily said to these people, you're Abraham's seed. That's true. You say you have never been in bondage to any man. Do you not remember that Abraham's seed were 430 years in Egypt? Do you not remember that Abraham's seed were 70 years in Babylon in captivity? And even now, the Lord Jesus could have said to them, even this land, the land of Israel, in which you live and are so proud of, the Romans are occupying this land. And yet you say, we have never been in bondage to any man. You know, that's the way people think. People think, I can break the habits of sin until they try to break them. People tell me, I can stop the drink whenever I want to. People say, I can stop taking the dope whenever I want to. I can stop this. I can stop swearing. And until they try. And then they realize just what an awful grip it has on their lives. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that when God looked down from heaven, he saw that the very thoughts and the imaginations of the hearts of men and women was evil continually. God said about the people at the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11, he says, now there is nothing. They'll be restrained by nothing from which they want to do. Such was their rebellion against God. So it's good to know the truth that we have a soul. But we realize that we're sinners by birth, by nature, by practice. But thank God, as we have read here tonight, we've been reading about Jesus. And isn't it good to know the truth about the Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? John says, I've written these things that you might believe on Jesus, that you might believe that he is the Christ, that you might believe that he is the Son of God. As the Apostle Paul says, there is only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It's not the church. It's not the saints. It's not the pastor. It's not the priest. One mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. When Peter and John were commanded not to preach or teach, the Bible says they told the people, they said, you've commanded us not to preach or teach in the name of Jesus. But they said, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Jesus himself said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Yet people think, if I can do enough good works, if I can be a good citizen and a good neighbor and a good friend, a good church goer, I'll be all right as far as God's eternity is concerned. But you need to know the Savior. all the false cults, their New Age, and liberal religion, all these other things, deny that the Lord Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. Old John Newton, who wrote that lovely hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, he wrote a lovely hymn, it's in our hymn book, What Think Ye of Christ is the Test, to try both your state and your scheme, for you cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. And friend, you need to know the truth about salvation. It's a very simple message tonight. But just underlining some of these great truths, because Jesus says, if you know the truth shall make you free. And the truth about salvation is this, that Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, the hymn writer says, whosoever means me, it's better than my name. Anyone, everyone, is not that the same? Believing is salvation, present, full and free. Oh, the blessed whosoever, that means me. The great John Bunyan, the writer of Pilgrim's Progress, he said on one occasion, he said, I'm so glad that God says in his word, whosoever. He says, if God said in his word, if John Bunyan believed and should call upon the name of the Lord, he should be saved. He says, I would wonder, am I the John Bunyan God's speaking about? Am I the John Bunyan, or is it a John Bunyan who has lived before me, or will live after me, or a John Bunyan in some other country, some other continent in this world? No, he says, it's so wonderful that God says, whosoever, that means you, shall call upon the name of the Lord. It's a wonderful opportunity for the whosoever. Jesus loves the whosoever. From whatever land they be, and he gently calls them to him for salvation, full and free. But thank God it's simplicity. Whosoever shall call, a little child can call, a little babe can call. And thank God when a man or woman calls upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, here's the surety, they shall be saved. Not the might, not there's a possibility. But the Bible says, whosoever shall call shall be saved. But before we bring our meeting to a close, let me remind you tonight, you need to know the truth about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Many years ago, on the 21st of February, 1965, as a young man, I sat in the gallery of the old Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church. Dr. Paisley was the preacher. Can't remember all that he preached about, but he quoted a verse of Scripture from the book of Genesis, chapter 6 and verse 3. My spirit shall not always strive with man. I remember thinking about that. I was a young fella, born into a Christian home, taught the way of salvation at home, in church, Sunday school, the city mission, children's meeting, knowing the way of salvation. And I thought to myself, what would happen to me if God would stop speaking, if God withdrew his spirit, if God's spirit stopped working and stopped striving with me? I knew the answer. I would be lost. I would be lost for all eternity. And that night, I closed in with God's offer of mercy. And downstairs in the old kitchen, in the old Ravenhill Church, I gave my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God, as the Scripture says, whosoever shall call shall be saved. Friend, the Bible says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. The prophet says, ye shall seek me and ye shall find me if ye search for me with all of your heart. I don't know your condition tonight. I don't know those who are saved and those who are not saved. But I plead with you, if you're in our meeting tonight without Christ, if you're watching in online and you don't know Christ as your own and personal Savior, it's our prayer that you will come to know him, that you will take the sinner's place, and you will turn to God in simple childlike faith and in repentance, turning to God from your sin and asking this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who loved you, the one who gave himself for you on the old rugged cross, the one who took all our sins and our sorrows and he made them his very own, and he bore the burden to Calvary, and he suffered and he bled and he died alone. The hymn writer says, how marvelous and how wonderful, and my song shall ever be, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Friend, he loved me, he loves you, and he longs tonight that you may come and receive him and put your trust in him and be saved for time and for God's eternity. May God bless his word to our hearts tonight for his own name's sake. Reverend Porter.
We're just going to turn in closing tonight, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 221. 221. I'd like to thank the Lord's servant tonight for coming and faithfully preaching God's word. We pray the Lord will bless that message to every heart and soul who has heard tonight. And if you're not saved tonight, oh, that you'd settle the matter tonight and that you'd close in with Christ and trust him as your Savior. If you'd like to speak to our brother after the meeting, he'll be no hurry away. No preacher can save you, but I know he'll be glad to open up the Word of God with you and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who is able to save for time and eternity. 221, come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Verse 2, 3 says, yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe on him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Oh, if you're not saved tonight, you'd believe tonight on Christ without delay. 221, we'll stand as we sing. We'll just sing verse 1 and verse 3 along with the chorus, standing as we sing. Let us stand as we sing. Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, tonight for thy presence among us here in this gospel service. We thank thee for the singing of thy praises. We thank thee for the faithful proclamation of thy word. And Lord, thy word tells us, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. We thank thee for all in this meeting that have entered into that freedom and that liberty and that gladness that is found in Christ and in Christ alone. But Lord, for any in the meeting tonight and they've never tasted this gladness, this joy, this liberty, this pardon, this peace, this salvation that is found in Christ alone, Lord, speak to them tonight. Trouble their souls. Have mercy upon them. Lord, go on by thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, even tonight may they come and trust the Lord, and believe in him without delay, and be fully blessed for time and for eternity. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless the meetings as they continue in thy will. Bless your servant as he preaches thy word night by night. And Lord, visit us with mercy. And visit us, Lord, with salvation, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.